The bells of Notre Dame ring out from a fully restored cathedral over Paris. No Starbucks in the sanctuary, no swimming pool on the roof. And Notre Dame returns in triumph. Chez nous, soyez hen. Meanwhile, the New York Times confirms the good news. Abortion was the biggest loser of all in the November elections. And the liberals? Well, they're furious. Bill Maher, for example, says the Democrats have lost their minds. And finally, Candace Owens cuts to the chase and says it all over again.
Christ is king.
The war is on, and the new woke order takes a massive hit. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground. Before we get started tonight, the bells of Notre Dame in Paris rang out for the first time this week since 2019. The 2019 fire nearly razed the old girl to the ground. You can see the technicians here getting ready to hear it for the first time, hear the bells for the first time. Really, really great news. And for us, she was the starting point for the Sharp pilgrimage for the first, 26, 27 times that I walked the pilgrimage from Paris to Chartres. Notre Dame de Paris was it. That was the starting line. And it's just really, really great to see her restored exactly as she had been before, by the way, and exactly, if I may toot my own horn, as I predicted would be the case.
Some crazy, liberal, whacked out French president can't change the plan at this point, which is to restore it to its former glory and beauty, the traditional form that she was before she burned. So, I don't know. I'm pretty hopeful. I think that it's great. It's a great sign to see that they're restoring it right away. They promised to do it by 2024, the Olympics. So that's going to happen.
The 14th century statue of Notre Dame de Paris being restored by torchlit procession in Paris last night by thousands of people praying the rosary, singing the Aves, the Je vous salue Marie, and even singing a little bit of the Chez nous, which is the love song of the Sharp pilgrimage, was really something. I'm not a signs and wonders kind of guy, and it's difficult to find out what all of this means. That's why I'm not big on the signs and wonders, in fact, because you never know. It seems very subjective to me. But this does seem to be a powerful and hopeful sign for us all, directly involving Our Lady as being a part of not only the restoration, obviously, of her own cathedral in Paris, but of the restoration of the church. This is a metaphor, right? It has to be. It's a metaphor for the larger restoration, at least the expectations that we all have. Obviously, the restoration of our beloved church under fire. As we keep saying, God will restore the church in his own time. He's going to. Everything that we do down here is all about that. And of course, the Marian aspect of it is absolutely vital to our mission. So I find that to be a very hopeful sign. The church will rise again. It's just a question of when, and that's what I want to kind of talk about tonight in relation to this election, because it lost in this whole debate that we had about the compromise on abortion and IVF and all of that. The election happened, and it seems like we all kind of moved on without taking into consideration that there were two other big losers in this election. And this obvious sea change that's going on, not only in American politics, but as when you factor in the Great Reset, the New World Order, globalism, we're talking about the global political scene. There is a sea change. And in our country, in this election, the two major losers here are pro-abortion politics on the one hand, and, in my opinion, the most woke pope in history, Pope Francis. So I just came back from the Vatican not too long ago, looking at the Church of Accompaniment going about this ridiculously absurd process of setting up a synodal church, which is basically code for the most woke version of the Catholic Church that anyone can possibly tolerate right now.
Ahead of the 2025 Jubilee, the Vatican has launched a cartoon mascot, unveiled as the cheerful face of the Catholic Church's upcoming Holy Year. The mascot, named Luce, which means light in Italian, is intended to engage a younger audience and guide visitors through the Holy Year.
So if wokeism lost big here the other night in this election, it's not a stretch to say the church, the Synodal Church of Francis and Company, as the greatest icons of ecclesiastical wokeism also lost big in that election. I want to talk about that tonight. Now I want to talk about this other aspect of it, and that's the notion that pro-life is a losing issue, is a losing political proposition. Because again, there's been a lot of back and forth. Now that the election's over and we can all stop bickering about whether we can or can't vote and how we're going to vote and all the lesser of two evils and all this stuff, let's look at what happened. Pro-abortion lost big. Pro-life lost in a way because the Republicans made a compromise, but in a way it still emerged. It's so powerful. The pro-life cause is so powerful that even when there was an attempted compromise in order to win an election, pro-life still emerges as this massive force in this country. And this isn't just me or somebody on the right saying this. I was very interested to see the old gray lady, the New York Times, admitting the same thing, admitting that the big loser coming out of this election then was the pro-abort politicians, the Democrats. In an article entitled The Abortion Fallacy, which Walter can throw up on the screen, David Leonhardt, the senior writer for the New York Times, he asked the question, how could the Republicans sweep this year's elections when Democrats made abortion central to their campaigns? How is this possible if the Republican Party's opposition to abortion really is unpopular? After the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, he writes, many Democrats argued that abortion would be the key to winning future elections. But, says the New York Times, it hasn't worked out that way. The Democrats' belief in the political potency of abortion, according to the New York Times, looks like wishful thinking. And the New York Times concludes, abortion was by far the most prevalent topic in 2024 Democratic messaging, beating out health care, the economy, and immigration, and yet the strategy failed. So says the New York Times. So as Jimmy Stewart would say, this is a very interesting situation. I felt I could sell tickets, right? What's going on here, actually? The two most, I mean, I don't even think it's arguably, I think the two most powerful female politicians in U.S. history now, alas and unfortunately, would have to be Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, both of whom are champions of a woman's right to choose, both of whom champions of contraception, champions of abortion rights, right? And what happened? These two powerful women got destroyed in a head-to-head contest with the Orange Man, the most polarizing Republican politician in U.S. history, destroyed them, right? So you tell me, if being pro-abortion is such a winner, such a winning proposition, how did this happen? I asked the question last week, why in the world did they pick Tim Walz, the total putz governor of Minnesota? Kamala Harris actually told us exactly why they chose Tim Walz.
After Roe was overturned, he was the first governor in the country to sign a new law that enshrined reproductive freedom as a fundamental right. And with Tim Walz by my side, when I am President of the United States and we win majorities in the United States Congress, we will pass a bill to restore reproductive freedom, and I will proudly sign it into law.
And how did that work out? Why don't we ask this delicate young thing?
It's all right. It's all right, I feel that way too. It's all right. We feel that way together, okay? Let it out. Let it out.
Yikes. What's going on there, Walter? Holy crazy ladies, Batman, what is that? That's right, sweetheart. We hear you loud and clear. Get some help, get some sleep. But it's true, the big loser in the 2024 U.S. election was delicate young things just like you, poor pro-abort fanatics just like you, lost big. And this was after a compromise on the part of the Republicans. We're going to get into that in a minute. That's what's so funny, because people say, well, yeah, but the only reason that they lost was because Trump became a Democrat, man. He totally compromised on abortion. Well, yeah, you know that. We went back and forth and round and round and up the street and down the other side of the street for a couple of months on that. And you're right, we were having, I think, a fairly morally and theologically elevated debate about that, you and I, in this audience, because we understand the terms, we understand what was at stake, we understand the morality of everything. You know, we vigorously debated the Trump flip-flop on abortion, but what do you think? This little delicate young thing that we just heard, you think she was examining that? You think she was invested in conscience and a conscience issue as we were? No.
Because I have responsibilities, I'm going to do these freaking dishes.
So for all of these voters and for the other people who voted for Donald Trump, which was millions, which was a majority, obviously, Donald Trump was still this guy.
It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life.
That was a great moment. You see, and that's why when we had a conscience issue over what to do in 2024, it hurt so bad, because that was one of the coolest moments, in, as far as I'm concerned, in American history. And I always said, it wasn't just that he was standing with us and on the mall and saying those things, whether or not he was fully 100% pro-life, that's not the point. The point is the entire modern post-Christian world heard the leader of the free world saying that, standing up for the unborn, and it was an amazing thing, and people are still talking about it, right? That's what the American people remember. It was such a huge moment. No one had ever seen anything like that, right? And yet, still, just a couple years later, Donald Trump pummels the pro-abort candidate of the Democrat Party even after that? Why is that, friends? This is what I mean about pro-life still, even when it's kind of getting beat up a little bit by the good guys in order to win, kind of put in the attic, you know, so we can still win the elections or whatever. It still is a powerhouse. And we got proof of that. Like, if you go back a little bit, just think, just remember, recall that just a few months ago, Joe the Catholic Biden was out there on TV in front of the whole international television audience blasting Donald Trump for what? For bragging that he'd overturn Roe versus Wade.
Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024. If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
Now, let's just give that a thought after that moment, which is a terrifying thing to see. A guy who calls himself a Catholic, a guy who is a big admirer of Pope Francis, the first thing he's going to do is get baby killing back in business once he gets back to the Oval. You know what I mean? Yuck. It's so sad, so scary. Who would have thought, though, at that point, that a few weeks later, Joe the Catholic Biden would go down in disgrace and Kamala Harris would begin her meteoric rise to become the first Indian, black, whatever, woman of color president in U.S. history, you know? I mean, think about it. To get to that point, Kamala Harris was so cocky, so convinced. She came right here again to Minneapolis and announced how great it was going to be, you know, campaigned on abortion rights, campaigned on reproductive health, campaigned on a woman's right to choose, you know? Kamala Harris and Tiny Tim, where do you think they met? What was the venue for their meeting? Their famous meeting that led to this now union of president and vice president for 2024. You know what the venue was? Planned Parenthood.
Many of you have asked, why am I here at this facility in particular? And I will tell you, it is because right now in our country, we are facing a very serious health crisis.
And yet again, friends, after all this time, the church is in full collapse, public education weaponized against Christian morality, generation after generation after generation, brainwashed, you know, in women's reproductive rights, right? Despite it all, in the end, what happens to Cami the Commie? She gets destroyed and humiliated by the guy responsible for having ended federal protection of abortion rights. A guy who bragged about, yeah, I'm very proud of the fact I overturned Roe versus Wade.
For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I'm proud to have done it.
We just did an article, test me if you can help me out, Angeline Tan talked about how many pro-life groups had risked...
100 pro-life groups.
100 groups have raised pro-life, objections rather, to the compromise before the election, to the RNC. Now, this is really important because that's what their job was, to raise that objection. That's what they did. That's what I said last week. That was our job, too, as Catholic people, members of the Catholic press, to raise the objection, to fight for that. And now still, even though it didn't go our way in terms of that compromise, to still stay involved. We have to stay involved in how we're going to continue to push the pro-life, pro-God message, no matter what. And given the margin that Trump won by, it seems to me he probably is going to, as I say, he's not Mother Teresa. He's not living by the same moral standards that we are. He's not a daily communicant. But I still think even politically it's going to make a lot of sense for him at least to send Vance out to the pro-life march in Washington in January. You know, at least there'll be some of that I'm sure that will happen, should happen. We got to pray for that. We got to push for that. We actually have to demand that happens now. And let's face it, we were among the constituents that put him in office in 2016 in the first place. We are not going to give up on this. We're going to keep on fighting. We have the right. We've earned the right to make certain demands on this ticket.
Right now, I see 1,000 patriots. It belongs to us. The future belongs to us, friends. This is not another election. This is war. This is holy war. And we need to go to war against these people.
By the way, can we be done with this ridiculous notion that Donald Trump lost his bid for the White House in 2020 because of us, because, you know, he's too pro-life? Are we not sick of this? We're done with this. It is so dumb. Trump lost. Let's just put an end to this. Trump lost in 2020, in my opinion, because he got hoodwinked by one Dr. Anthony Fauci and by the Gates crew and by the COVID cabal. I think that's what happened. He fell for it too much, didn't he? He got into it too deeply. He went for it, right? He was the guy that did lock down the country, even though you got the feeling he didn't want to. He was the one who did it, right? And I think he knows that was a mistake. It wasn't the pro-lifers. It was COVID that did it, right? And that's why, by the way, Donald Trump, in the end, did not campaign on Operation Warp Speed, did he? Everybody thought he was going to, that's what he was going to say. He dropped the whole, I saved millions and millions of lives. He dropped that. He never said, I saved millions and millions of lives. Never once during the campaign. He dropped it like a hot potato, and then he teams up with who? Robert Kennedy. Why? Because as Trump put it, quote, Americans have been being crushed by the drug companies that have engaged in deception, misinformation, and disinformation when it comes to public health. Trump says he wants to protect us now from what he calls, quote, pharmaceutical products that contribute to the overwhelming health crisis in this country, end quote. In other words, Operation Warp Speed, RIP. That was the big loser. That's what left a lot of people, a lot of pro-God, pro-family, pro-life people going, what the heck is going on here? You know, why is our country locked down? Why are our churches closed under the Donald Trump administration? Is because he let himself get led around by the nose by the likes of Fauci for far too long. But when it came to pro-life, and I'm talking 2023 now, and leaving aside any questions regarding the rape and incest life of the mother exceptions, a whopping 44% of Americans say that they are pro-life, period. So it wasn't, are you pro-life if the usual exceptions are included? No, it's just, are you pro-life? Do you identify as pro-life or not? That's it. That was the only question in the survey. 44% of Americans said yes. So obviously, this is not a losing percentage, friends, on a moral issue in 2024. And if the Republicans plan to win elections over the long haul, they simply cannot afford to alienate 44% of Americans for whom pro-life is the most important issue. Okay, so yeah, we had this big debate, but none of us, for neither side of this debate over the compromise in the GOP, we all care about abortion a lot, an awful lot. And I'm talking about millions of evangelicals, traditional Catholics, cared enough to consult our priests, to go to our moral theology books, to find out if we could vote for the lesser of two evils. You see what I'm saying? Abortion is not going to go away as far as if you go a little bit too far, you're going to lose up to 44% of the vote of people who are not going to mess around with this. Nobody voted for the compromise. Everybody said, well, maybe I can still vote for him under the less of two evils principle, but we're not happy. So what happens then? Wokeism in general But especially wokeism's penchant for human sacrifice, a Democrat penchant for human sacrifice, lost so big in the course of all of this that even the left now is screaming mad about it.
Democrats run for office as if the voters don't live here, as if they don't go to the grocery store and Starbucks and the office, but they do. They live here. And they actually see women and people of color. And it doesn't look like some patriarchal racist nightmare.
Man, that could so easily, like as I say, I just came back from Rome a few weeks ago. What he said about we live in this world could so easily be applied to the Catholic Church, the Synodal Church. I was sitting in the Vatican press office, I was so tempted to raise my hand and say, I actually live in this church. Where are you guys? Because you're not seeing the reality of what's going on at all.
Maybe take the clothespins off your noses and actually converse with the other half of the country. Stop screaming at people to get with the program and instead make a program worth getting with.
What Bill Maher doesn't realize is that he's lashing out against the chaos. I'm going to close on this. The chaos that follows the wholesale rejection of the moral order based on the kingship of Jesus Christ. That's why I love it. I love the fact that they're spitting mad. They don't quite know what to do about it, right? They think they can sort of Elon Musk their way with billions of dollars and, you know, technology and all this stuff to change it. But ultimately, they can't. Ultimately, everything you're looking at is Christ or chaos. It's the Christ or chaos problem. Christ or the woke mind virus. We know, as Catholics, we know that wokeism is just like the ultimate iteration of Lucifer's original non serviam. Now they're like, I don't even want to be a man anymore. I'm free to be a woman if I want. It's the ultimate non serviam. Everything that God created now is up for grabs according to wokeism. So this is a very theological war that we're seeing play out right now on the international stage. And right now, wokeism has lost big, praise God. But we don't know what we're looking at. Are we looking at like a new world order involving Israel in the United States versus a new world order involving Russia and China? Who knows? I have no idea.
Are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly?
I think it's very likely. And if it happens, it is likely to be the kind of like the death blow to what remains of the global order.
So what am I saying? Well, I can tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that this war is over or even sort of over, far from it. Yeah, I think there's been almost too much. God has spared us. God has given, God, the God of mercy has saved us. I don't know that that's, I think that's a little bit precious at this point because that's sort of the God of surprises. That's his kind of mercy. That's Francis, right? That God, for no apparent reason, just spared our country despite libraries full of drag queens and pornography and hacking up the private parts of children and exporting porn and all the rot that we send all over the world, all the war that we're responsible for. God just suddenly says, hey, you know what? You get a break. I'm not sure that that's what happened. I would credit Donald Trump with a brilliant, leaving the morality out of it, a brilliant strategic campaign. Politics and money and alliances had a lot to do with it. And people like Elon Musk, who wants to put a computer in your brain and set up residence on Mars, had a big, big, giant part in it. It's hard for me to believe that Elon Musk is now a champion of the kingship of Christ for some reason. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot more to look at here than, oh, it must be a miracle. Because if we think that, oh, it must be a miracle, God gave us this very special mercy, well, that means that we don't have to fight. And I think, honestly, the fight is just beginning. The true fight is just beginning. I'm grateful for this reprieve, but it's going to involve us becoming a little bit more creative. It's not the time to put the MAGA hat on, the red shirt, T-shirt on, right? It's really time to discuss what do we do with this opportunity. And I credit Donald Trump, even though I disagree with the compromise, I credit his strategic brilliance in providing this kind of strange opportunity now. As I say, it has even exposed the wokeism, in my opinion, of the entire Church of Accompaniment of Pope Francis. Grateful for that, right? So, and it's no secret. And I think it's only in fairness that we'd have to point this out. Lots of people wanted to be really hard on Trump. And I keep saying, I don't know, Trump's just a politician. I don't even know if he's Christian. I suppose on some level he's some sort of, I don't know what exactly he is. But he doesn't lead with his Christianity, let's put it that way. But it's no secret that Trump faced nothing but opposition from powerful Christian forces, especially the Catholic Church of Pope Francis, whenever he tried to do anything. He tried to secure the border, and France said, well, no, you got to build bridges, not walls, right? He wanted to protect our nation from the globalist, green, woke, godless lunatics, and he got nothing but opposition. Trump got nothing but opposition from the American Catholic bishops. It was the American Catholic bishops who refused to open the churches during the COVID stupid, while Trump was still in office, even after Republican governors had lifted COVID restrictions. It was these useless bishops with their little masks on telling everybody to get jabbed and keeping the churches locked.
I want to say to all of the Catholics in San Diego and Imperial counties that there is only one real pathway for us as a society out of the pandemic, and that is through the embracing of vaccinations by the whole of our community.
I just met this guy, McElroy, over in the Vatican. Oh my gosh, you throw that up on the screen for a second. McElroy and Tobin walking off the board of Borgo Pio. I thought, man, I need to see it. I got to find an exorcist, you know. But anyway, that's what they were doing. You must get vaccinated, right? You wonder why so many people are walking away from the Catholic Church, why so many people have lost faith, they don't care anymore. Because every time they go into a Catholic church, there's a guy up there dressed in a muumuu who's talking real gentle like that about joy. And nothing. There's nothing there. There's no leadership there. There's nothing you want to follow. That's the image of the Catholic priest, the Catholic bishop throughout the world. And that's why the Catholic Church is, that's why they went after the Catholic Church first. So when the political situation got like it is today, there would be no moral, you wouldn't have any confidence in the moral authority of the Catholic Church because they're all talking like this, you see? And everything that they did, everything that our bishops did was approved, was blessed, was sanctioned, mandated by the Pope, by Pope Francis, who said we had a moral obligation. Remember that winter? The world had a moral obligation to be vaccinated, you know? And this is why traditional Catholics really, at this particular point in time now, we have an obligation, I think, to seize this opportunity to strike and to strike hard, to explain to the world that Pope Francis, you know what? He is the Kamala Harris of popes. He's a radical lefty, right? Whose woke agenda has simply got to be blocked, finally, by anybody who's kept the faith. Why? Why is this so? Because he is. He is St. Robert Bellarmine, Doctor of the Church. He's St. Robert Bellarmine's bad pope, doing to the church exactly what the globalists are doing to our world, especially to our country, trying to destroy it. And if, says Robert Bellarmine, 16th century Italian Doctor of the Church, if it's permissible to resist a pope who attacks the body, souls, civil order, or who attacks the church itself, then it is licit to resist him by not doing what he orders and by impeding the execution of his will. Well, here we are. This is what we have to do. In my opinion, we are called by God to speak out and to speak out now. Why? Because as Pope Leo XIII says, to keep silence in the face of such a clamor against the truth as Francis is putting up right now is either a pure weakness or a hesitation in the faith. Christians, says Pope Leo XIII, are born to fight. So Christians, let us stand up and fight. We've got this chance. And people say, well, it's way too late for that. It's not going to work. That's Pollyanna. That's not going to happen. Really? Because I think it's the only thing that's going to happen. I think it's the only thing left to happen. Everything else has been tried. Everything else has failed, right? I hear people shouting, Christ is King, all over the world right now. You do too. Where did that come from? Why does everyone want to say that? Because they know instinctively that it's the absence of Christ that's the problem. And calling Christ back, like calling the King back, is the only way out of this nightmare. For example, I sat down a few weeks ago and I interviewed one of the most popular content creators on the internet today, a woman with millions and millions of followers who attracted my attention by saying those same three words.
Hey guys, it's Candace Owens, and I'm here to say Christ is King. It's a statement that certainly has gotten me into a lot of trouble this year, but I would say that not declaring Christ is King is something that has gotten society into a lot of trouble as of late. I've had so many discussions, and there are many people that feel such an anxiety. They call this taking the black pill, where you feel so much doom and so much gloom, and you realize the state of things and how terrible it is. But I always invite them to take the white pill, and I tell them the reason why I'm so happy is because you recognize, especially when you are a Catholic and you come to the full faith, what it means to put Christ at the center of everything that you do. talking socially, politically, everywhere, putting Christ at the center of your life is the difference.
There just seemed to be such a sign of God's grace at work in the room that night. We had a great interview, we had a great talk, we had great discussions afterwards. And there was this sense, once again, how did this happen? Where did this come from? How do we end up finding each other? And why are we on the same side? And why is there so much progress suddenly being made in the name of the social kingship of Jesus Christ? Candace Owens, Catholic convert, traditional Catholic. Now, she's out there right now standing, and I'm just using her as an example. There are many people suddenly who are doing the same. She's out there right now standing up against the whole woke world, unafraid to say the same three words that even the Pope himself evidently has become terrified to utter. Christ is King. It's the answer, friends. And no, it really, really, literally is the answer. So all of this stuff with elections and the MAGA movement and everything that's happening, make America great again, fine. But at the end of the day, that's not our objective. The objective in supporting that and getting behind that is, again, as we've been saying since 2016, to buy the good people enough time to wake up the masses to the social kingship of Jesus Christ, to calling the King back to us, to restoring God. We have this chance right now. We have the opportunity in this defeat for wokeism to stand up and do it. Fight, Christian men, as the Pope tells us. You must fight. Fight in defense of the kingship. And of course, with Candace Owens and lots of people who are doing it now, you fight in defense of the kingship of Jesus Christ in the form of speaking out against the societal ills, against the sins that cry to heaven for vengeance, violations of God's moral law, IVF, for example, abortion, contraception, right? The stuff we've been debating a lot down here lately. Attacks on the traditional marriage. See, that proclamation of the social, that's what it means. People say, how are you going to say that? What do? You stand up for God's law. You stand up for God's rights. You stand up for natural law, no matter what happens, no matter what political party says or tries to do to stop you or to promote you, you push that. And that proclamation of the social kingship of Christ, as I say, is suddenly becoming very popular, going viral, in fact, all over the world. So if you're looking for a sign, well, here you go. How about the vice president-elect of the United States acknowledging the kingship of Christ?
There is something really bizarre with Kamala Harris's anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. Jesus is King, and I don't think that we've seen.
I mean, think about it. Vance says that, and the crowd at a political rally goes wild. Look at that. For what? For Christ is King, friends. That's the opportunity. Stop telling yourself, stop letting anyone tell you that this is wildly unrealistic, this proclamation of the social kingship of Jesus Christ. No, it's not. No, it is not. It's the answer, friends. These are the three words that will change history. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, which is why Francis is shutting down the Latin Mass, by the way. Those of you who are new to this show, maybe you don't realize he's out there right now. They shut down another five traditional Latin Masses down in Tyler, Texas. Why? God knows why. Thriving Latin Mass communities are going on, and the Vatican is so terrified of this that they're taking steps to shut them down all over the world while they're approving this liturgy.
The Vatican just announced that they have approved the Mayan rite form of the Mass in Mexico. This Mass contains a number of elements drawn from pagan and indigenous culture. The Mass includes ritual dancing, women taking the place of the priest in incensing the altar, and parishioner leadership of certain prayers in the liturgy.
So this, friends, this is the madness that's going on. This is the wokeness that I believe got defeated just as surely as Cammie and Tim got defeated a couple of weeks ago in this election, right? And the no compromise on pro-life, on Christian morality that we've been discussing about for the past few months, yes, stand by that. I stand by that. Why? Because in politics, the pro-life cause represents the last vestiges of man's will to defend the rights of God in the modern world. That's what it is. He is the author of life. It's not just another political talking point. Abortion is an assault on Almighty God. Those who defend against it and condemn and ban it are defending and standing with Almighty God. Those who stand with Almighty God can expect the protection of Almighty God. No matter what happens, no political party can protect us like the providence of Almighty God. And that's what this is all about. We have to make sure somebody stands with God, with life, no matter what happens in politics. Because once it's gone, once there is no pro-life movement, no pro-family movement, you know what that means? That means Christ is gone in this country. And after Christ is gone, there's only one thing left: Antichrist. You ready for that? No, I didn't think so. And that's why this fight matters. That's why it's so important. That's why the whole idea of this revolution has been to uncrown Christ the King. The whole point and purpose of this Freemasonic revolution has always been to destroy the Catholic confessional states, to remove Christ from the public square, and to coronate, to crown Antichrist. We're right in the middle of that war, friends. And we cannot step away from God for one second if we have any expectations of winning this war, which we do. For us, it's not about winning the next election. It's about winning this war, the war that matters. It's about preserving the Catholic counter-revolution at all costs. It's about keeping the faith. It's about the crusade, the honor of fighting this crusade. It's about saving souls, especially our own and the souls of our children. It's about staying alive, and it's about keeping our children with us in mind, heart, soul, and body, which means we're going to accomplish all that. That it's all about looking into the eyes of demons and proclaiming the social kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ anyway.